day which the Lord has made, we will. Amen. I want us to rejoice in 2016. And man, I'm going to rejoice. That's right. Let's get in the mood, man. Isn't it great? It just when people around you are upbeat, it makes you be upbeat. When you're lounging around, you start feeling, oh no, what's wrong? And start getting lazy. But man, I am glad to be here. And I anticipate a fantastic year for myself, for Prayer of Faith. And I pray that for you guys, that you have a great 2016. And are just full of energy and full of an attitude that wants to say, I want to serve God and I want to be in fellowship with His people. Let me just pray real quick if we could. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the provisions that you have given us. Heavenly Father, we ask for 2016 to be a year of giving. Lord, that we give back to you, that we give back to others, that we give to the church, that we give to one another. And then, Lord, you pour out your blessings as we do those things. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the provisions, for the abundance that you've given us. God, for those that are coming today that may have a heavy heart for whatever reason, Lord, that you would lift them up by the time they leave this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We ask you to come in. We ask you to fill us. We ask you to fill this place. And we ask for your presence to be known today and every day. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. I'm trying to think after Christmas. And I was trying to think, what was my favorite gift of all time? And I want you to think back. Think, what was your favorite gift of all time? And it may have been just last week. It may have been a year ago. It may have been 50 years ago or whatever. I just think, what was one of my favorite gifts and what made it one of my favorite gifts? We had a lot of Matchbox and Hot Wheels and G.I. Joe stuff, and I love those. Still have some of those up in my attic. I'm not a hoarder. I just keep those because they were some of my favorite gifts. And I thought, I got a train set and a racetrack, two different years, and I still have those. And so I was thinking, why did I enjoy those? Why did I like those? And I thought, well, it was because of the fun that I had with my brothers. Now, my sister didn't enjoy that, but my brothers, we enjoyed that. And we set up little towns, and we were fortunate to have a big playroom. And my mother took a big piece of paneling that was spare, and we flipped it over, and we put our train set on that 4x8 sheet of plywood, and we made a town, and we drew roads. Often the dirt was the racetrack because it had to be outside the city limits. And then as my older brother got there, we would also have accidents with a train set and our matchboxes. So we'd find my dad's hammer and smash the smithereens out of it and then do that. And then my brother found lighter fluid in a match and it became horrific. But it was the fun that we had with those things. And I still have some of those smashed and burnt Hot Wheels. Yes, I kept them because it was part of the fun. And I remember buying different little houses and things like that you could buy with the train sets. I had a police station. I had a house. I had a Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's what they were selling back then, Kentucky Fried Chicken in a box. And so I had these neat little houses. And it was just fun being together. Now, some of our favorite gifts may be some that you can play with. We've probably all seen the funny videos where you get a kid a new toy and he's out there for the first time, the initial flight of something, and it crashes into a horrific mess. And, well, that was fun. There's $1,000 down the tubes of a model airplane or something like that. And the things are meant to play with, but they're broken. Some are meant to be slightly used, and some are meant, maybe you got tools or whatever, they're meant to be used. And then some are meant to be enjoyed, be it a TV or a picture or whatever. And then some are just meant to have, if you will. I pass down your great-grandmother's this or that, and you're just meant to have it. You're not meant to mess with it, and that could be a favorite gift. And so I thought, what gift did Jesus Christ give us? What gift did God give us? And His Son, Jesus Christ. That was too easy, so I said, okay, once we had that gift, then what was the gift? What does Jesus desire for us to do with that? And I thought as we sang that song, Aftermath, today, I thought it's right in there. It's right in here. And I just want to read the words. Lately, these songs are just becoming, they're becoming alive to me as we sing them and as we play them. And it said, "Yet the hands that cradle the stars are the hands that bled for me." You got to remember, those same hands were stretched out with nails driven through them. It says, "In a moment of glorious surrender, you were broken for all the world to see. Lifted out of the ashes, I am found in the aftermath." And it says, "Freedom found in your scars." That's our freedom is found in His scars. It says, "In your grace, my life was redeemed." And I thought, oh man, we're starting to get a glimpse of the gift that He has given us. A redeemed life. It says, "For you chose to take the sinner's crown. And you placed your crown on me." It says, "In that moment of glorious surrender was the moment you broke the chains in me, lifted me out of the ashes, and I am found in the aftermath." But listen to this. Chorus 3. "And in that moment you opened up the heavens." And who did He open it to? To the broken, to the beggar, and to the thief. "Lifted out the wreckage, I find hope in the aftermath." But here's what we need to get. He has come for us. The gift of God is His Son, Jesus Christ. Now we see He's opened up the heaven, the broken, the beggar, and the thief. All of us. Broke the chains in me. And it says, and I know that you're with me. And I think that's sometimes where we miss that gift. I know that you're with me. And it says, "And I know your love will light the way." And we miss that sometimes. We miss that He comes to be light. We talk about it time and time again. Jesus Christ has come to be light in the world. And we should walk in that same light. And we should speak in that same light. And we should reflect that same light. Amen? But it is so hard to do. That's a great thing to put out there, Adam. Thank you very much. We should be the light, reflect the light, speak like the light, walk in the light. Man, I'm a mess right now, Adam. My life's a mess, or other people are affecting my life. That's great, but I'm just not there. Oh, hallelujah. Today's message, the gift of transformation. We can get there. We can get there. And that's where we have to find hope that says we can get there. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because it's fantastic to put these great ideas up on the board and say, be this. No, I don't fit that one, I'm out. You know, we can't do it. And I appreciate your piano playing skills. Could you always play that way? Probably not the first time you sat down at the piano, you didn't play like that. We have the gift of transformation. You can change and you can get better. And you can be in a better position. And thank God you did do that. And are in a much better position. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, flip towards the very end of that. Let's do this. Let's go backwards. Let's start in 2 Corinthians instead. Let's flip over a few more pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll work backwards. And while you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Romans 12:2 says what? Do not be conformed. That means molded. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Transformation can happen. And we're talking about spiritual transformation here. Transformation, change. Sometimes it's adaptation. But transformation or change, and it's spiritual transformation. And that starts in the mind and in the heart. And sometimes those two are not quite connected. They're just, I have it in my mind, but my heart hasn't received it and hasn't opened up to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. But listen to verse 16. It says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty, there is freedom. You're unchained, you're unrestrained, you're unrestricted. There's freedom in that, there's liberty in that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and some of you are bound up. And you need that freedom that the Spirit of the Lord gives you. Verse 18, but we all, with the unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Some people still have that veil over their face because they don't understand that gift was already given. But they're still looking. You ever see the kid that gets the gifts and they're going through one after another and they're tearing through it? They open it up and, clothes. A book. More clothes. Pajamas. And they're flinging it side by side and it's chucking out like trash. And they're looking under, they're going, where's the gift? Well, that was the gift. There's got to be more. Is that it? That's it? Pajamas and clothes and books? And some people still going through with a veil on their face thinking, where's the gift? Well, that veil was removed when Jesus Christ came. Veil was taken away in Christ. And those that are in Christ have received that gift. They understand they found the gift. Now we've got to learn what to do with it. But they found it. They have freedom. And they're being transformed. Amen? Do not be conformed or molded to this world. Now, we were going to sing a song today that talks about mold me, but it was talking about mold me in the image of Jesus Christ. That type of confirmation or conforming is great, but it specifies, do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by what again? Renewing their minds. And we think, well, okay, yeah, no big deal. What we don't set before us, we don't focus on. What we don't set before us, we don't focus on. I'll admit, some people said, sometimes it seems like you guys talk about the same old thing. Yeah, and I've talked about that before as well. What we don't set before us, we don't get. We can talk about loving all day long. Are you still loving or are you not loving? We can talk about forgiveness all day long. Are you forgiving or are you still holding some of that? Well, I got a few people I haven't been able to. Okay, we'll keep talking about it every now and then. Maybe one day, not Adam or Eric, will spark you to change or transformation, but the Spirit of the Lord will lead you and direct you and guide you into that transformation. It says, I was finally able to let go. Some people have smoked for years and quit, and they could do it like that. Other people took them weeks, months, or years to quit. This, being a Christian, is the same thing. Some people, they receive Christ, and man, it is transformation immediately. And other people, it's a bit of a struggle. It's weeks and months and years. But Jesus Christ said, man, I'm still here waiting. And I'm ready to receive you. I go back and I listen to old messages. And I was listening to last year's New Year's message. And I told a story about a young girl who's got lost that her grandfather was looking for. And he said when they found her, he didn't run up and say, hey, you ran away, you shouldn't do this. No, he embraced her and said, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I told a story that God feels the same way about us. When we've wandered around or wandered away and finally made our way back, or for the first time made our way back, thief on the cross, he says, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I'm here to receive you back, or I'm here to receive you in. That's why it puts in there, the sheep, the one goes away, and when that one comes back, what is there? There's a great celebration for the one that was part of it, that went away, that came back. And by the way, when you guys have a part in bringing somebody back to the Lord, there's a great reward for that as well. A great reward for that as well. Now, let's go back a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And as you're turning there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, go to the very end of the chapter, right before 16. How does transformation come? It comes by will, of course, but it comes through submission. And generally with commitment. We're going to pick on Anna today. Your piano playing. You didn't get as good as you are by not being committed to that, right? And you didn't get as good as you are by not submitting, saying, I've got to do the lessons. I've got to go through this. You had a fantastic teacher, by the way, I can tell. And you're a great student, I can tell. But it came through commitment and submission that said, I'm going to transform from a beginner, raising my hands up and all that stuff, and playing one note at a time to multiple notes. And it came through submission and commitment. And that's how transformation happens to us. We can't change this and we can't change this just like that. We can with the Holy Spirit's help. But I'm just saying that normally it takes us renewing our mind daily. Some of you have sayings wherever you are around the day, whether it's on the refrigerator multiple times or your bathroom mirror or whatever, and you have sayings or phrases that help remind you each day how you want to be, the life you want to live, or where you want to get to, whether it's a goal or a transformation or a spiritual thing. Last year I also talked about New Year's resolutions, and what if we added a spiritual value to that? All year long, same thing. That's just called transformation. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. And I love this word. It says, behold. And last year at this same time, my message was, behold, I make all things new. But this year it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must pass on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We sing a song about this. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the glory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? Man, this tells us right here, we shall not all sleep. In the twinkling of an eye. Adam, I think that's talking about our death. We shall be changed. Absolutely. Absolutely. Transformation comes by submission and commitment and strength from and through the Holy Spirit. Amen? We've got to grasp this Holy Spirit thing and ask for help from the Holy Spirit. You have to want to change. You have to pursue change. You have to make change. That means you have to make it happen. But when we change, you have to maintain change. And that's why fellowship with the body is so important. I tell you what, being away from church, I just think, man, this church feeds me. It helps keep me focused. And when I'm away from it, two Wednesday nights, a Sunday, that was just a little sandwich in there that we didn't meet. Your thoughts can get a little out of balance. Your actions can get a little out of balance. Fellowship with the body keeps us connected, and it keeps us connected to God. It helps keep us accountable. We have to maintain that change. When we start on a path, and I said it a few weeks ago, when we talked about adversity, and through trials comes, it helps develop patience and all that, and I said some of you are swimming in a lake of patience. Because God just throws one trial after another, after another. But this says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's an opportunity to serve someone, somehow, somewhere. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When we take two steps forward and the devil knocks us back a step, I said a couple weeks ago, remember, that is still progress. And you can still find victory and progress even when you get knocked backwards. Amen? Change is going to come at the end of our life. And he's talking about change at the end of our life. Our final victory. And when I say the end of our life, I'm talking about here on earth. Our final victory. Change will come, but God desires for us to be changed and transformed here on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what keeps us from transformation? What keeps us from change? That's your homework for the week, I guess. Figure it out. Because God desires for us to be transformed. I'm excited about 2016, again, for myself, for my family, for my church, for my friends. I am excited. I am so thankful for this church and this church body. Not just for the building, I'm thankful for that, but I'm thankful for what comes with it. And that's the church body, and that means you guys. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. God's desire for all of us, that includes me. Don't think I'm preaching transformation there and I've been transformed. Oh no. Oh no. It's always a work. It's always a work in progress. Amen. For all of us. But God desires transformation for all of us. Let's bow our heads in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the gift that comes with that, though. The gift of transformation or change. Lord, help us understand the power of the Holy Spirit and the strength that we can find in the Holy Spirit. God, help us look for, help us want change. Help us pursue change. Lord, help give us the willpower and the strength to make change start in our life. And then the strength to maintain that change. Lord, help us in 2016 to be a better church body to one another, to others, to our family. Help us be better followers of Christ. Not just knowers of Christ, but followers. To study His Word. To study Your Word. And to seek transformation. As we continue to pray today, if you're here today looking for transformation, would you raise your hand so that we can pray for that transformation? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Continue to raise your hands if you would, those seeking transformation. Thank you. Heavenly Father, for those that raised their hand today, Lord, for those that didn't even, Lord, we just ask You to show Yourself strong. Lord, we ask You to start a movement within their heart. Lord, because it begins in the mind and the heart. Lord, help that be a new person in 2016. Lord, help us to reach out in 2016 again to each other and to those outside these walls. Help us to give of our time, our talent, our finances, our provisions. Lord, help us to give those to those in need. Lord, I ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.